Welcome to the Crafty Garden Mom Podcast. My name is Tanisha. If you're a new listener, welcome, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for giving me a listen. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. So I hope everyone is doing well, and I want to wish you a happy new year on this very last day of 2016 as we get ready to ring in a new year. I don't know about you, but I am very ready to say goodbye to 2016 and hello to 2017. It has been a long year, and I think many people have a lot of feelings about 2016. Oh, what a year, huh? Oh my goodness. There have just been so many things going on in 2016. I'm sure you have had a lot that has happened in 2016 for you as well. It's been a while since I have podcast. I think it was October. A lot has happened. A lot's been going on for us. It's just the holidays. It's been busy, of course. Thanksgiving was great. We spent time with family. We hosted here. My brother was in town, which was great, with his family. So he lives in Austin, Texas, and he was able to come with his family. So we were able to have them over and got to spend time with them. And Maddie and Samantha got to spend time with their cousins. And we had a big family dinner here. I didn't have to cook a thing. I know. Isn't it awesome? You host, and other than making sure that the house was ready for company, my husband made the turkey, and I bought the honey-baked ham and some, the utensils and the stuff that people would eat off of. And, we have all the serving stuff and just things like that. But yeah, it was a potluck. So my mom made some sides and other people brought side dishes, and it was great for me. It was just a fun time. So we had a really good time. And then that weekend, we just did other family fun stuff again, with just getting the cousins together and taking advantage of just having, family from far away from out of town and just doing some fun stuff. And then, it was just fast into the holidays. And with work, the holiday season is just very, very busy for us. So it was just full on with work and travel and just the season going on. So just very, very busy October, November, December for us, all the way up until Christmas. And then we are lucky to have our company closes for the week between Christmas and New Year's. Although we just, kind of have to check in with email off and on through the week, but pretty much things shut down, and we get a paid week off, which is very nice from our company. So, I've been on vacation for the week, which is very nice, and we had a lovely Christmas, and the girls got pretty much everything they wanted from Santa, and we had a very nice Christmas dinner, and got to spend more time with family and friends. And it's just been really nice to have this time off and to relax a bit. Unfortunately, Maddie has had a cold, more of just, upper chest bronchial infection. She's been coughing. She seems to have gotten over some of that, but and then Sam has a bit of a stomach bug, so we are home tonight for New Year's Eve. But she seems to be feeling a little bit better now. Yeah, but we're just kind of in, and I decided, you know, I'm going to do a quick podcast update before the new year and just give you guys a little update of what's been going on and hopefully motivate myself like I've been wanting to really set into motion some things that I know I have already set into, I should back up and say, I've already set into motion some things that I know I plan to do for 2017. And I'm very happy that some of my mojo has come back for crafting and just things that I have kind of let languish in the last 6 to 8 months that have not really been happening for me. And I guess it's a good segue to just kind of talk about just the year for me. I would say 2016 overall, I would categorize crafting wise has been kind of a crappy crafting year overall for me. Because if I look back on just the overall projects I've done, I would say really, other than a couple of bag pro, you know, just sewing bags, knitting bags, that I've made, and just, you know, given for tr just in swaps. Really, there's nothing really sewing wise that I've done. I can't even remember the last time I used my sewing machine, so I'm not even gonna count that. Knitting, I've done several shawls and a couple pairs of socks. And I have done some work in my art journal, but that's really about it. There's really, I would say, nothing of significance that I would say really has stood out to me that I feel was just a major craft project that really stood out for me this year, that I'm super proud of, or just, you know, that inspired me, or that I worked really, really hard on, or just, you know, anything like that. Yeah, overall, it's, you know, or just, you know, a technique that I really worked, that I learned, or anything like that. And this just was not the year for me in terms overall in crafting. And it's just, I'm just kind of disappointing, you know. And it's more, I've been thinking about it the last couple weeks, and I just, part of it is I spent a lot of the year uninspired in general. You know, I didn't spend a lot of time in my craft studio. I didn't spend a lot of time working in there. You know, when I would buy any supplies, I would just, if I bought them, you know, I'm embarrassed to say, I would buy them and put them on the craft table, and it would sit in the bag unopened. I would buy it and just plop it there and not even open it. Or if I ordered it, sometimes it would stay in the box for a month. And if I did go in and open it, kind of shove it on the shelf. I have unopened yarn, you know, that is still in the bag. And yeah, it's really just, I was inspired to buy the stuff. Like I would see something pretty and buy it. It was more yarn and art supplies. I don't think I bought any fabric. I don't think I bought, if I look back, maybe at the very beginning of the year, I may have bought some fabric. I can't remember. I doubt it. I don't think I bought any fabric this year at all. Not in the last couple months, but I definitely bought quite a bit of yarn this year and art supplies, although that did definitely taper off in the last couple months. I have not bought anything in the last 2 months. Yeah, and I'm not at all planning to buy anything in the next couple months because I really my goal is to start using what I have because I know I definitely have much more than enough. And that's one of my goals for 2017 is to use what I have because I just need to, and to start getting inspired by what I have. Yeah, you know, just looking back on the year, it was just one of those, it's just been a year of, you know, a part of me kind of looks back on it and personally, I think I spent part of the year to be very honest, a little depressed. And I don't want to say that, I'm not trying to throw that out like as a diagnosis, because I certainly don't want to self-diagnose myself, because I do know that, you know, depression is something very serious, and that, you know, I'm not throwing that out lightly at all, because I know people definitely struggle and it's something very serious. And I certainly am not trying to make light of some, you know, depression at all. But I would say personally, if I think about some of the things other people I know who have been diagnosed or who know that they struggle with it, and gosh, I don't think I was ready to talk too much about this personal in depth, really, now that I think about it. I will just say some of the things that I've thought about and have happened this year and that I have been working through this year and that have gone on in my life this year outside of family and just some things that have gone on personally for me and that I have worked through and have been fine with. And it's just my own, you know, just my own self-talk, I should say. And I should say, you know, just some of the things friends have said and people, other podcasters that I've listened to who have also, you know, I have really listened to the things they say they have struggled with in the past and maybe are currently struggling with depression. I would say I have probably come as close in my life to that point this year at certain points throughout the year to that state and really needing to take some time to work through it and crafting has had to take a backseat to me needing to focus on my family and being with my kids and focusing on my marriage and time with my friends and my just connecting with the people in my life and stepping away from the computer and social media and the need for validation on the computer and the likes of posting a project and that getting validation of people liking what I've made versus the actual people in my life connecting with me. If I don't know if I make if that's quite making sense, but that's kind of where I really needed to be this year was, you know, I just felt I had felt for a while that I was using social media and even, you know, crafting and delving into my crafting and the making so much, the end result so much that it was allowing me to step away from the actual connections of the people that mattered the most. And while I still enjoy the social media and seeing what other people have made and the, you know, the connections that I still enjoy making online and seeing what, you know, and posting what I have made, I definitely still feel I need that, because there's still a huge part of me that is like, there's still a huge part of me that's like, you know, I make a pair of socks and, you know, the majority of people in my life aren't that interested in a pair of socks, you know, but when you share it online, there are thousands of people who are like, that is so cool. And it is really cool to share a pair of knit socks, in my opinion, and to see that other people are excited to see that you have knit a pair of knit socks. And I feel it's really cool to see other pairs of knit socks online as well, or a quilt, you know, and to see that shared online and the beauty of that. I still truly feel it's awesome to basically be able to go online and see an art show every day if you want. I still love that. There's still a part of me that needs to make sure I'm not just using that for hiding, I guess. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm just that's where my head has always been, that it's just a place to hide, because it really never was. But I just felt, you know, 2016 for me, I just felt that a lot of things kind of came to a head, and just with so much going on throughout the year and just in general feeling overwhelmed a lot of the year, there was, you know, getting laid off. There was the kind of the uncertainty, do I want to get a new job? Should I, you know, do I want to start on a new path? And then, hey, here's this new job offer, you know, boom, here it's laid in your lap, starting a new job and, you know, working from home, which is awesome. But, you know, there is the learning curve there that actually surprised me, which was, again, it was awesome, but it was a learning curve. And then there were these new huge demands that, again, were surprising. There was, it was actually a lot of work in this new work at home, work from home job. And there was, a big travel, a new travel element to it as well. And yeah, it was just quite a bit of new learning. And then 2016 was also the year that I broke my first bone in my body. So that was also kind of an unexpected, an unwelcome surprise in the smack in the middle of summer, right as school started for my kids. So just quite a bit going on. And yeah, and then learning that, hey, you might be dealing with some emotional issues going on in your head that you just aren't really ready to possibly acknowledge and deal with. And maybe you might want to talk to somebody about it. And, you know, are you really ready to acknowledge that maybe you need to talk to somebody about this? And, oh, you can put that off. And maybe you shouldn't. And yeah, so So there's just, you know, there's all of those things going on that throughout this year, as well as feeling kind of bad about the fact that you've been this ongoing crafter woman for years and years and years, and it's kind of been your self-identification for a long time, and, you know, to the point where people ask you, people in your life ask you, what have you been making? And you have to say nothing. Not a dang thing. What have you been sewing? Not a dang thing. In fact, I can literally blow the dust off of my sewing machines. And, you know, that's really sad. And you start to get sad about that. And you start to get depressed about that. And you start to feel bad about that, about yourself, about that. And then you kind of have to yank yourself up about that and smack yourself upside the head and say, why are you feeling bad about that? Why should you? And you start to get feel bad about yourself about that again. And it's just like this vicious, dumb cycle that you find yourself in. And yeah. So anyway, I've decided to stop all that. And here I am and have just decided that I'm done with that, and and it's a new year and we're gonna start again. It's time to start again. It's 2017 now. Well, in a couple hours, 2016 is now behind me. I've decided behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. It's all okay. What we have not made, what we have made, any mistakes, it's all behind us. It's okay. Put it down, put it away, throw it away. I have decided I'm tired of feeling bad about what I can't change. I can only move forward. Tomorrow's going to come. It's going to come. 2017's going to come. Yeah. So I've decided I'm not going to apologize for what I didn't make. I'm not going to feel sorry for what I didn't make. Yeah, I'm letting it go. So moving forward, I've decided 2017 is about quality, not quantity. I'm not going to focus on making a whole bunch of stuff because I've already got a whole bunch of stuff. That's the thing. That's the other thing. Because I went into my craft room and I was like, oh my gosh, you have so much stuff. You should. That's the other thing. Because you go into your room and you're like, you have so much stuff. And that was my first thought, right? I looked at all this stuff and I'm like, you've got to start making stuff. You've got to start using all this stuff, right? Because that's the other thing. You start feeling guilty, right? And then I'm like, oh, I've got to start making all this stuff. And then I started saying, wait, whoa, stop, slow down. Stop. You can't do that. You've got to slow down. No, pick up one thing. Pick up one. Just one. Pick up one thing. Stop feeling guilty. Stop feeling guilty. You can't change it. You can't change what you've done. Yes, you bought all those bags over there. Yes, you bought them. You pick up one, decide which one's your favorite, which one do you like the most. Pick up one and decide which one do you like the most. So I have, technically, really, I haven't decided quite yet. But I'm just going to pick one and just decide which one's my favorite right now and move forward and make something that I really want to make. And again, not apologize for what I've bought already, and just decide to make something. Because part of what I think has been freezing me up is that besides the guilt, is just not being able to focus, and just because I'm focusing on the many versus the one. And when you're focusing on the many and the all, like all this stuff needs to get made, all this stuff needs to get done, and instead of just focus on the one thing that you need, that you want to do or that you need to do, just focus on that one thing and get it and just do it. Just do it. Sometimes it's just doing that one thing and just putting that one step forward, and you get one, that one thing done, and it so helps. I find that in work that always helps me. That has always helped me. I wish I would really focus more on the crafting and doing that, because I find in work that always helps me. So, because I've just decided with my craft room, I've again just spent so much time feeling overwhelmed, and it's just kind of barred me from wanting to do anything in there. It really kept me from getting inspired, from really doing anything. So, quality, not quantity. I'm definitely focusing on cutting back on buying anything new. I know I don't need anything new. I do have a desire to sew a couple things. I haven't decided if I want to sew a quilt yet. I'm not so much in terms of piecing. A paper piece project I saw that really intrigues me, but I'm not quite there yet. But there are a couple of projects that Samantha has been itching to try. I actually have been kind of eager to help her improve some of her sewing skills. And I think working with her on some of her sewing, I know in the past when I've helped her do some of her sewing and some of her sewing projects, it's kind of gotten me in the mood to do a little bit more of my sewing. So there are a couple of things I know she wants to make, some simple things like some sleep pants. And I know there's a little like messenger bag that she wants to make. So, and those aren't very difficult. So I think she and I will work on some of that in the coming weeks. And then Maddie, she's about to turn 6. And that's about the age I started sitting down with Sam to do at my basic sewing machine to start practicing lines, just on notebook paper, just to start practicing sewing straight lines with a needle punch. So we were going to actually start doing that. So we might start doing that in the next couple weeks, because I know she's eager to start like her sister. So I know once she starts seeing Sam pick up the sewing machine again, she's going to want to do that. So we will start doing some sewing here in the next couple weeks. So those are some of the things that I know are my plans with the crafting. I definitely have the mojo back to start doing some more things with the crafting. I have already started knitting again. I have finished a pair of socks that I have had just languishing by my bed with the afterthought heel. I just finished the second afterthought heel on a pair of just vanilla socks that have been sitting since October. And I have cast on the toe to another pair of socks. I just did that this morning. So yeah, my knitting mojo is has come back. That's always easy. And I have several trips coming up in January and February. So I definitely like to travel with some knitting projects with me, and in the cold and where I'm going, I will definitely need some knitting with me, because it's possible that I will be sitting in some airports for long waits if with flight delays. So I will definitely want some knitting with me. What else? I also have some art journaling projects going. I have done a couple of, what do you call them? The little art cards are small, little 5x5 or just small little cards. I've done a couple of those in the last week or so, and those were nice. They're just little small cards that I've done for fun. Started really in the last couple days since I've been on vacation, slowly cleaning out my craft studio, and I've been kind of brutal. I've just decided, you know, that there's just a lot of stuff in there and that I don't use. And that includes sewing supplies, some knitting stuff. Been a little hard for me to part with some yarn and fabric, I'll admit. But art supplies, I have got rid of some of it. And when I say got rid of, I would say more donate. And even planning stuff, I've just, with planning, I still use my planner, my paper planner. And I do enjoy it. And I do enjoy decorating it. But I've said from the beginning that while I do like, you know, how a lot of people who are very into planning and decorating their planner a lot, I am not so much. I prefer a more clean page just because I write a lot in mine. And if my page is too cluttered with stickers and, you know, just a whole lot of paper and just a lot of visual clutter that's not your appointments and where I need to be and notes and meeting times and, you know, just stuff like where my kids need to be and things like that. Just literally like the actual planning of my day or, you know, what I would use it for, like, you know, the number of steps I took, or if I'm trying to plan the meal planning, or just any of those basic things that you need for your planning, if that's not what I can see right away, and it's about the stickers and the pretty, and that's what's kind of cluttering up the page, it starts to annoy me. And I've just kind of figured that out about myself. So unfortunately, I spent too much time buying the pretty because that was kind of fun. And, you know, that's what the explosion in the industry was about, right? Like in the last, you know, that's what Michaels and the Happy Planner and Me and My Big Ideas and, you know, all these companies, they moved, you could tell, like the scrapbooking industry was like, oh, this is where people are spending their money now. And the scrapbooking business, you know, while that hasn't died, of course, you know, the big money spending has gone to planning. And of course, you know, they need to pick up the lost sales business somewhere, and people are spending thousands and thousands of dollars now on the planning business. And so there's all kinds of cool and fun and beautiful stuff. And visually, I love that stuff. I love stationery. I've always loved stationery. I'm a sucker for it. I'm a sucker for a gorgeous pen set and post-it notes and just, I love all that stuff. It's sad. Like if I ever went to Japan, I would be in so much trouble because they are like just amazing with the stationery, the office supply stuff. There is a store in New York City that is my kryptonite. I cannot go in there and spend less than $100. I'm butchering the name, the pronunciation, but it's the Kunakanaya bookstore. There's one right over by the New York Public Library. I'm sorry. If you want to know, I will post a link to it. Or if you're going to New York City, just send me a DM on either Instagram or Twitter, and I will let you know because I just kind of know where it is when I go to New York, and I can let you know because it's literally like my favorite place to go in New York City when I go. I love that place. And there's actually a couple of other really faves of mine when I go to New York for stationery, but anyway, that are Asian inspired, and they just like they get some of the best stuff. But anyway, I would be in so much trouble if I went to either Japan or South Korea. Oh my God, I'd be in so much trouble. Anyway, I spent way too much money on that stuff. Way too much money on that stuff. Because, I mean, we're talking like 3-4 drawers full. And I use maybe, this is really sad, I use 2 or 3 of my favorite pens now. I have like these 3 favorite pens that I bought just ran like from these two, this one favorite bookstore in New York City. In fact, the next time I go there, I'm probably going to go and buy about a dozen of these amazing, amazing pens. Like, oh my God, they're awesome. This pen that I've only been able to find at this bookstore. And these, a couple of stickers that I really like, these bullet point stickers that I use for my, like check off, right? That just to check things off. Cause you can, I just kind of lay it down on the date and then it, and it has like little bullet points and then I can just check them off and I do it by the day and I go check, 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 check. And yeah. And I just write my things by the day and I can just check it off and I just get this total sense of accomplishment. And yes, I could just draw a little circle, but this little, this sticker is like a strip and it's like a perfect line. Like it just does it where my circle would be kind of all wonky. This strip makes it all perfect line, perfectly lined up. And yeah, so it's perfect. So basically for $3, the strip of stickers and the pen. And I have spent hundreds of dollars on all this other stuff I never use. So now I'm just giving all the stuff away. And on a couple of Facebook groups that I'm a part of, they have these random acts of kindness swaps that you can do for people who are, you know, all into planning and especially around the holidays, you know, people who may not have a whole lot of money to buy the stuff. You can offer to do packs of random acts of kindness. So I have put on there packs of random acts of kindness and just stuffed prepaid envelopes full of my planning stuff that I never use and just stuffed it all in there and sent it off to people who have asked for it. And I received some very, very kind thank you notes because they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you sent X, Y, and Z, Kate Spade, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't, please don't recap what I sent you because it was probably like in a blind, just get rid of it. And I might regret. Like, can you send that one back? No, no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But anyway, so yeah, I've definitely come down from the planning high and ledge. And I still use the Happy Planner, even though I still feel it's too big for my handbag. I do carry a larger handbag, but it's too big for it. Okay, let me back up. I carry a larger handbag, but I feel the Happy Planner, which is, let me measure it. It's like, it's 7.5 inches wide by almost 9.75 inches tall. So it's a pretty big planner. But I like that size because you can write normal size in it and you can get quite a bit in there. And because I write both work and home stuff and my kids are very active and like just with all the work and meetings and stuff and then all my kids stuff, I have a lot of stuff throughout the week to fill in a week. So a teeny little planner is just not going to cut it. I've tried both and I need a full, like a larger size planner. But trying to stuff it into my purse, it takes up too much room with my wallet and all the other just stuff I've got in my handbag. So I'd have to carry it in my arms. Now, when I'm traveling, I do bring it with me. It is kind of a pain in the butt because then it takes up quite a bit of room in my, tote bag, but I still make it work because I definitely need it with me because it does kind of, you know, again, it pretty much has everything that I've got going on in it. I make it work, but it's just, it's kind of one of those things where I wish I could condense it down, but I just, the size of it, it does work for me as it is. I do like the fact also that in the back of it, it has a to-do list section. So I've got, so for example, when I'm planning out, like I had my, like all the Christmas lists going in here, stuff that I had going on for Christmas, meal planning section. When I'm planning like a birthday party going, I have a section in there for that. A couple of projects that we have going on, home projects that we've got going on, a vacation that we're taking later on in the year. I've got plans for that. You know, just things like that. You've got sections in there that you can put separately in the book and just keep that, you know, as a reminder. But it's all within one book, so to speak. So you're not kind of having to go elsewhere to find it. It's all together. And so when I'm like, you know, on the train going up to New York, or if I'm on the plane and I've just got some downtime and maybe I want to work on one of those projects, or you know, if I've got a thought about one of those things, I don't have to jot it down in a different notebook and then come back to it. I can just flip to that section and just jot those notes down in there. So it's helpful in that way as well. So it serves its purpose in that way as well for me as well. So, and then because I'm trying to make sure I focus again on my health, which to be honest, I have kind of let languish in the last couple months, and I definitely need to refocus, particularly on the exercise component. I need to start exercising again more regularly. I am going to put in here, just really to start tracking my steps again. You know, kind of a motivation to start with the getting back up to 10,000 steps again. I'm going to figure out where I'm going to do that. But anyway, so that's where I am with the planning. So overall, really, I think that's kind of bringing you up to date with what's going on with me. A little crafting, a little depressing talk, a little looking forward into 2017. I am not going away. I do plan to keep intermittently telling you what's going on with my life. You know, I can't make any promises that this will continue to be a monthly podcast, every other month podcast. I don't know. I do know that I will continue throughout 2017 to come back and update you with what's going on, with what I'm working on. You will find me posting on Instagram, as well as if you follow me on Facebook, please come, if you want to, come and find me there. Definitely come and find me on Instagram. That's probably where I would update my projects first, on Instagram as Crafty Garden Mom. So if you want to follow me there, but, that's probably the first place you would find any projects you wanted to see by me, or an update from me is where you would find it first. So we lost Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher most recently. And I'm bringing up Debbie Reynolds probably because those of you who know me know that I love classic movies. And in the past episodes, if you've been listening, I had brought up classic movie reviews. So many of you must know that this really hit me kind of hard because classic movie-wise, Debbie Reynolds was one of my faves. I mean, I remember watching Debbie Reynolds with my mom and my Nana, and watching her with my mom in particular, the unsinkable Molly Brown, so many times. I can't even count the number of times I have seen Tammy and the Bachelor, Tammy and the Doctor, Singing in the Rain, the unsinkable Molly Brown, which is not a true life story of Molly Brown, but it is still a fun, fun movie. I mean, she's just such a gorgeous, amazing, wonderful actress. She was just so beautiful and wonderful. And if you know anything about the story of Singing in the Rain, when she was 17 years old doing that movie, she had never danced before. And there she was with one of the best dancers in Hollywood. I mean, Gene Kelly was, I think, 42 or 43 years old, and he was well known to be one of the best dancers in Hollywood. He'd been doing it for, I mean, he was classically trained. He had been dancing almost all of his life, and he was a hard, hard taskmaster. I mean, he would work them until 3 in the morning. And, you know, he didn't care that Debbie Reynolds had no dance training. He didn't care she was only 17 years old. He could care less. He worked her to the bone. And he would literally come in and say, he would start a number, do the number, and he would do it over. He would make her do it over and over and over and over and over and over, and literally without a single smile. Only while the cameras were running. And as soon as the cameras went off, he just looked at her and walked off stage. He was not a nice guy. He was not a nice man. Fred Astaire was a very nice man because he's the one who helped her. He happened to be working on another movie. I can't remember the name of the movie, but he was working on another movie, but he was also just on the studio set, and he came over and he helped her and he worked with her. But he was also, you know, he was a taskmaster, but he was also a really, really good dancer. Very well known, of course. He was one of the best, Fred Astaire. But he worked with Debbie, and he just worked with her and worked with her. But he was kind to her, and he helped her. And she gave him almost all the credits to say that if it hadn't been for him, she probably would not have made it. But the thing that I admired so much about her is that at 17 years old, to have that kind of work ethic, to basically say, you know, here she is up against this 40-something-year-old man. She'd never danced before. And yet she had the work ethic and to say, I'm not going to let this defeat me. And she did it. I mean, and if you look at the number, Good Morning, of Singing in the Rain, she did it perfectly with these two amazing dancers. You would never, ever know, never know that she'd never danced before. So, I mean, I admired her ever since I was a kid to know that. And, I just absolutely have loved her since I was a kid. And there's also a couple of amazing dance numbers in Unsinkable Molly Brown. I love her gumption in that movie. I've just always loved some of the characters and the way she has delivered lines. I've watched her in her movies. I've just the way she delivers lines. She was also the voice of Charlotte in one of my favorite animated movies, Charlotte's Web, in the original animation of Charlotte's Web. And she sings one of my favorite songs in that movie. She was Grace's mother or Will's mother in Will and Grace. I'm drawing a blank right now. But anyway, she's just done some amazing, amazing roles. And I was very, very sad when she passed, and knowing that she passed of heart heartbreak of her daughter dying. Just, it was, yeah. Anyway, so I've been kind of mainlining Debbie Reynolds movies, to say the least, over the last couple days because I just love her so. So anyway, if you get a chance, please just in tribute, watch. I highly recommend Unsinkable Molly Brown. Tammy and the Bachelor is also very good. I think she won an Academy Award for that song. Tammy's in Love. And then to end it with some of my favorites, the books. To be honest, there haven't been too many great, great books that I've read. Although I did read a very good one by Colleen Hoover. I was very surprised. Although I shouldn't be surprised because I do like Colleen Hoover as a writer. I think she's written some very good, I guess you would call them, what are they called? New adult lit. New adult. It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. This one is about domestic violence, but she tells it in a way that was kind of surprising, actually. She tells it in a very personal way. It's kind of a personal story. It's not, you know, it's not autobiographical, but she tells it, you know, at the end, she has an author's note at the end that she definitely tells how it was a personal story for her to tell. It's very well done. It's a story of, you know, a young woman who, you know, meets a man. He is a neurosurgeon, and they meet on a rooftop and they fall in love. And there are some clues early on that you don't realize actually until they're in the relationship are clues. It's very cleverly done and very subtly done. You know, as the relationship develops, there's some domestic violence that starts to happen. And what's interesting is that the main character, she is from an abusive home where her mother and father, her father abused her mother. And she, of course, tells herself when she becomes an adult, she will never get into that kind of relationship. She will never be her mother, basically. And when she finds herself in that kind of relationship, she can't believe that she is, you know, and she can't believe she's making some of the same decisions that she has always told herself she would never make. And the storyline is in such a way that while you certainly don't tell yourself, well, you know, I can understand why you would stay, or I can understand why you would, you know, make excuses for his behavior. The author definitely definitely shows how there are always more, there's always two sides to every story, and doesn't make excuses for domestic violence, you know, definitely gives more than one perspective in the whole storyline behind domestic abuse. And the ending is very well done, including the author's note. If you do read the story, which I do recommend, and it's actually kind of, when I finished it, it's definitely a story for 18, I would say at least 16 year old and up, because there is sex in the book, and some language. So I would say 16 and up. But it's actually, when I finished it, I actually was kind of like, I want my daughters to read this, because it's definitely one of those books where, again, because Colleen Hoover, the author, tells it in such a way where she does it where it's very subtle. And it's like, you know, because it's not a straight, he just, you know, straight out hits her. Again, it's kind of like, it's, again, he's kind of Mr., it's like he's Mr. Nice Guy. He's a neurosurgeon, right? He's a nice guy. He kind of puts on, you know, like everyone around him would, you know, believe that he's like this, he's the perfect guy. And he actually, you know what, to you and I, he actually is. And to be very honest, the way the author tells the story, he actually has, he has a medical condition that technically would possibly excuse his domestic abuse. So, for example, how do I put it? Somebody who is autistic, who strikes out at their parent, like a child who, I'm saying like a who strikes out at their parent, that's technically abuse, right? Like an adult who is autistic, and strikes out at their parent who, and let's say punches them. That's technically abuse, right? You've punched your parent. But the parent doesn't report it because that child has a medical condition. Like it's, but, and do you know what I, like, it's one of those where, but the parent is taking care of the child. Now, if the child has, is able to function and live on their own, and gets married and gets into a relationship and medically is still autistic, yet strikes out at their spouse, man or woman, I'm not saying it's necessarily a man, is it still abuse? It's still, right? It is still abuse, right? Like, yes, it is still abuse. But the person is still autistic. And it's still a medical condition. Or let's say it's not even autism. It's still, it could be another condition. It could be a brain injury from a car accident. Could be something else. You know, do you know what I mean? Like it's, that's what's interesting about this book. Like it's, and that's not necessarily all that's going on in this story, because there's other stuff that happens, and it's just kind, again, it's just kind of one of those where you have to decide the line you're willing to draw. And it's one of those where, it's one of those stories where I was, at first I was kind of like, well, I don't know. And then, you know, you definitely decide, you have to make your own decisions. And the way she, and again, the way she ends the story is kind of surprising. You may or may not make the same decision. You may or may not make the same decision she makes. It's interesting the way she makes the decision she makes. It's very interesting. So it's called It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. It's one that I'm keeping in my mind, because I definitely think I want my daughters to read this book. I definitely think it's one that, when they're older, I really think young women new adult women, I should say, 16 and older, should read, because it's not, again, it's not your straight young man or young woman hits you, get out situation. It's, no, you may have to make certain lines. You may have to make certain decisions. You may be in a relationship where there's a medical condition and you have to decide. You have to decide, where is your line? What line? Is it a better, you know, you may have to make a for better or for worse kind of decision. And where's your line? And it may be a, that it may be a, you know what? I can make a for better or for worse kind of decision with kids, at, when there's kids and when there's with, or it could also be, you know, without kids. And then it, when you add kids, it changes, right? And that's kind of what this book is about. And that's what kind of makes it interesting to me. I'm kind of surprised in a way that this book didn't get a little bit more play, but it was kind of one of those, it's kind of under, she's a little bit of, she's a very popular author. I know she sells a ton of books, but it's, she's not a very like talked about author, like commercial wise, but she, I definitely think this is kind of one of those books that should have gotten a lot more buzz in my opinion. But anyway, I definitely recommend it. So that's, It Ends With Us. That's the one book that I'm going to talk about. I've talked about a little bit more than I thought I would. Yeah. Now that I think about it, it did stick with me a lot more than I thought it did. So I'm going to end there. It's been over an hour. It's probably a long, as usual, it's a longer podcast episode than I had thought it was going to be. So anyway, I hope all of you have a very, very happy new year. I will talk to you soon. Bye.